Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Everyone, my name is Dr. Betty Speaks. I am your lifetime imprint leader. I'm extremely passionate about empowering individuals to resurrect and establish themselves through the four components of life: spiritual growth, financial literacy, personal and professional development. I am that chosen warrior who inspires others to create an imprint that will live on long after they are gone. So I hold virtually group and family workshops on leaving an imprint. I will help you understand the importance of rising above your life encounters and how you shall start facilitating simple things into your lives just by getting rid of the stress that plagues our nation. So listen, thank you for tuning in into our weekly Overcoming Battles show. This is an intentional, motivational, plus inspirational show that is filled with wisdom that will awaken your hope, ambition, faith, and inner strength, plus cover a variety of genuine life-changing topics that are designed to encourage listeners who are worldwide with the knowledge that strength doesn't come from what you can do. It comes from overcoming the things you once thought you couldn't. So thank you again for tuning in with us every Wednesday. You will be listening to nothing but the stone cold truth. So if you're lacking motivation right now to the point that it is keeping you stuck in life, guess what? The only person standing in your way is you. So I have a phenomenal young lady here with me today. I'm not going to tell you who she is because she does so well sharing who she is by herself. And I want to check to see if she is still out there with me. Hi, special guest. Are you here today?
Hey, Dr. Betty, I am here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I want you to just tell the world again who you are, what you do, and just how phenomenal, you know, you and I were just speaking, and oh my goodness. Go ahead, I'm passing the mic.
Thank you for passing the ball. So I am Dr. Sabita Badesi Singh, and I am the CEO of Cardinal Services LLC based out of Houston. I am a global consultant, and I work in different parts of the world, primarily Asia, here in the US and the Caribbean. I have spent the last 25 years gathering best practices across a number of fields. And my doctorate is on agility and transformation during times of disruption. That being said, I think it was a chosen topic because in the last year and a half, I've really had to put every bit of research during my doctorate to work as we're trying to transform and pivot during these very disruptive and uncertain times brought on to us through no choice of ours, but by something we never even saw coming, a weapon in the dark. COVID disrupted our lives, and we had to pivot. We had to transform from a business perspective, from a professional perspective, from a personal perspective. And every element of my research has been put to play at working with clients and even on a personal level to scale up during these times. So that's a little bit about me on a professional level. I am a mother of two wonderful boys. So I've got an 18-year-old who just graduated from high school. He's headed off to Texas A&M very soon. And then I've got an older one. He's 21. He's at the University of Houston doing a degree in music production. But he's also an up-and-coming avid rapper or hip-hop artist. And, you know, he is such an amazing child. He writes his music. He produces. He's so passionate about it. And for me, I support him 100%. I've had a lot of pushbacks where people say, hey, you've been an educator for the last 15 years. but your son is into music. And I'm like, well, you know what? Fuel your passion. And I would not be a good mother if I didn't support my child's dream. So that's kind of like me, where I am and what I'm doing right now. I support a number of charities. I am the director of training and development for the Lead India Global Foundation. And we are mission-based. We are across so many continents, and we are touching lives every day. Right now, we are very engaged in what's going on the ground in India. It's no surprise the number of deaths. I mean, it's all over the media. It's very sad. It's alarming, but it has also shaken us when we look at our human factor. We are getting teledoctors brought up every week. We have a weekly session where we bring on medical professionals, we bring on nutritionists. This morning we had some grief counselors to talk to people about dealing with loss and the struggles of what's going on and how to face pain and how to process pain and how to prepare yourself for loss. So, you know, we are doing these amazing things as an organization, and we are trying to reach as many people as possible. So I think I've kind of like given you a high level overview of who I am, Dr. Betty, and feel free to ask any other questions.
Oh my goodness, you have done more than given me the high level, and you said the perfect word, the high level of who you are. You are definitely at that level. And I've been using the word, it's time to level up. You have already done that, and you are, it's as though you've taken the next level. You're like right there at that highest level. And you have kids that they're not even kids. You said, I'm the mother of two. And I'm thinking you're going to say maybe like a 6 or 7 year old, but no, you said 18 and 21 and you barely look 22. You're talking about me. Seriously. Did you like adopt these children?
Oh, God, no, like... These are mine. I carried them for 9 months. These are mine, cesarean and all. You know, I think for me, you know, staying young has always been something at heart. So I go to my kids' soccer game. I get out in the backyard and I kick the ball with them. And, you know, my bones may struggle sometimes, but it's just a wanting to be a part of everything they're doing and sharing these moments with them. For me, that is so important. And before I joined the session, my son just got an award for soccer on his varsity team. And I was about to put it on social media. I said, you know what? I want to put a right phrase and coin it nicely. But, you know, I was going to say something like when everything you want is right in front of you.
Yeah.
And for me, that is important, because far too often, Dr. Betty, I see everybody reaching for so much that they're not certain about. But yet, if they just stop, okay, and they stop and they just look around, do a quick scan of the environment, there's so much that is right in front of them that they're not even seeing. And if they were to look back in reflection, 5 years from now, they're like, how did I miss that moment? Do not miss the things that are in front of you. That is so important to keep, while you're thinking long-term, always have that bit of myopia. So you see the important stuff in front of you.
Oh my goodness. I'm blowing kisses, everyone. He is speaking my language right now. That's one of the things I do, the Focus F every Friday. And I talked about focusing on family. I talked about Mother Teresa, when she says that if a war is going on and you're not a part of the war, you go home to your family, you know, because that's like the most important thing to you. And the fact that you mentioned to how you stayed young by engaging in the things with your children and it kept you young, you know, that is so true, because they grow up so fast. It's like you look at some pictures, and I was just doing that with Justin, the grandbaby, and I was looking at pictures of him when he was 6 months old, and I'm like, Justin, what happened to that? What happened to him? That's me, G-Ma, but yes, where is he today? You know, I want him, I want to see him again.
But yes, absolutely. And you know, time is not constant.
Yes.
Right? It just, it moves. And we got to be dynamic and move with it. Mm. But it's important to enjoy the movement. And this morning I was talking to an audience in India and we were addressing COVID-19, the second wave. And I want to bring this into perspective.
Yes.
We are looking at alarming statistics, the number of deaths. But are we looking at a recovery? Are we looking at how much our life is changing? Are we looking at all the humanitarian efforts on the ground? I am seeing more human in people now than I saw 2 years ago. I yes. think people are more connected with the value of meaning and the essence of brotherhood. So while COVID may have thrown a curveball at us, mm-hmm. I think humanity is coming back into play. And yes. we were losing touch of that. So I think it's really important when we talk about, you looked at Justin and you looked at that picture of Justin, mm-hmm. we get wrapped up in the race of life mm-hmm. that we miss those moments.
Yes.
COVID made us stop. COVID made us stop and say, hang on. Let's stop. Press that pause button before we can hit reset. Like any tragedy, there are lives that are being lost, but we are also reaching out. I've never seen a bigger outreach than what we're experiencing, this wave of humanity. So that's our pause button. That's our moment where we stop and we look at that picture. As you're looking at your grandson, Justin, right? We're going to stop and say, this is our present frame. We get a chance to change the future. Let's do it. Let's do it now.
I heard you say reset and resurrect. That's what I just heard you say, honestly.
Absolutely.
I so love it. And I love what you are doing. You mentioned earlier that, and it wasn't mentioned on the broadcasting, but you shared with me that I am from India, but could you explain that to me again?
So I am Indian.
Yes.
So we were talking about the language of the broadcast and I said it's done in India. And India has recorded one of the fastest growing economies in the last 5 years. So English is naturally spoken and a readily acceptable language. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I am Indian. So I'm fourth generation Indian. I am a Caribbean girl. I was born in a tiny island of 1 million people called Trinidad and Tobago. And I am the great-great-granddaughter of an indentured servant. So my forefathers were brought into the Caribbean when slavery was abolished. And the first set of voyages was primarily dominated by men. And as such, you know, the role of, and I'm not discounting the role of men in any way, but the role of the female in preserving family values, preserving culture and traditions, I think it's really important because what I saw in the Caribbean is we lost our natural language. So my great-grandfather would have been speaking one of the Hindi or Indian dialects.
Yes. But
in the Caribbean, it was not passed on to us. Our food transformed. Our lifestyle is very different. So like when I go to India, and I go as a visitor, which I am, because, you know, I am more Caribbean based on my roots.
Yes.
And when I go to India, people naturally walk up to me and start speaking Hindi, right? And until I open my mouth, and they're like, oh, right? Because my accent is very Caribbean. And then, you know, I try to explain, look, I want to learn. And, you know, there's this gap. And this is me trying to reach back to things that are important and fundamental in who I am today, because had my great-grandfather not gotten onto that ship and gotten to Trinidad, I would not have been the diverse personality I am. I have had the privilege of living in countries and working in countries like Australia, Asia, you know, throughout the US. I've been throughout the entire Caribbean and worked in the Caribbean, every island. So for me, that diversity is so important.
Yes.
But to enjoy that diversity, I have to know who I was and where I come from. And that whole movement in creating the me where I am now is important, knowing my roots.
I love it. Knowing my roots. Have you written that book yet?
No, but I should.
Yes, I love that. And you know, it's so important because as I listen to you speak, Dr. Savita, you make me think back on my husband. My husband's origin, and I'm saying origin now, or his roots is from Portugal. And in New England, people would come up, even today, here in South Carolina, people would come to him or approach him and say something like, hola, senor, como está? And be like, honey, what are they talking about? You know, or that's not Portugal language, but they look at him and they assume that he speaks a different language based on the color of his skin and the texture of his hair. It's like, oh, he looks like he speaks my language. And I laugh, you know, at him. It's not funny, but he needs to know his roots. You know, he...
He has
to be in that book with you, knowing my roots.
I'm going to do a chapter on him as soon as I get to that. But you talked about, you know, assumptions that people make. And this is one of the things I think we should talk around, mm-hmm. is stereotypes. We live in a society where society tells us who we should be based on how we look. Right. Society dictates how we should behave, how we should dress. And we have been conforming to those rules of society. And far too often, those stereotypical perspectives of who we are and who we should be, right, based on our physical looks, mm-hmm. kind of dictates the rest of our lives. I have a friend, and she, you know, prior to having children, she was a perfect figure eight, so to speak, in terms of, you know, absolutely gorgeous body and everything. And, you know, our bodies go through a lot through childhood and that whole childbearing process. And it is a beautiful process. Now, 5 years later, she's battling the bulge. And I have seen her confidence eroded. And she, you know, she used to be so sure of herself and so positive. And because of the labeling that society places on you, if we add on a few chunks of pounds anywhere, or, you know, things that are not conforming to who we should be. And, you know, I've heard people use remarks like, oh my God, you used to look so... And I would stop them like, used to what? This is me. This is who I am now. Appreciate the me.
Yes.
When I'm having that conversation, I don't give them space in my head. And I tell my friend the same thing. You are not who you were prior to childhood. You are such a more mature individual. You have processed so much. You've given a gifted world. You have brought life in. And I would not even go back to who I was prior to my kids. And I tell her the same thing. I am so much more as a mother than I was as a person before bringing lives into this world. And, you know, we all contribute to the world, whether you're a mother, you're a father, whether you adopt a child or what, we are giving back. But don't let society tell you who you should be, how you should look based on these perfect images. There is no perfect. We are not living in a perfect world.
I love it. And that is so true. You said so. And every time I'm listening to you and I see so many hidden topics that are there. And we will have to come back and address some of these and just focus on those topics, because this type of conversation, what you just shared with us, is what people are listening for and wanting to know, how do I develop from that particular situation? How do I develop from people saying, you are no longer, oh, you don't look the same. Oh, what happened to you? Oh my goodness. Oh, what, you know, so we have to go in and address those issues and show one how to pass, just how to develop from that particular situation, because it's negative energy, what they are feeling. And they have to stay focused on the positive energy like you do. I am like gracefully aging, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
I do have some other questions that my guests are so used to me answering, asking the guests. I would love to know what motivated you to just get involved in, I think you mentioned his name before, is professional development training that you particularly do in India. What was your motivation for that?
So for working with the Dr. Kalam's Foundation, our foundation in India is, it supports some key sustainable development goals. So things like poverty reduction, access to education, access to good healthcare. Those are the sustainable goals that are very important to me. And anything I support, any venture I support, it has to align with my vision. And I believe, you know, alleviation of poverty is so important, especially in Dr. Betty, if you've been to India, there's so many contrasts. You've got some very wealthy, but you've got some extremely. And how do we create a bit more equity in society? You know, how do we move past those lines that segregate society?
Mm-hmm.
So poverty alleviation is one of them. And one of the ways we can alleviate poverty is through education. You ask what motivates me. I'll tell you what motivates me. I was born in an island of 1 million people. That is not, I mean, where I live in Houston, my city is way bigger than the country or the island I was born in, right?
Wow.
But I have worked in the largest continents in the world. And for me, the ability to be this island girl and represent my country, and I've never stepped away from who I am. My accent over the last 20 years has never changed because that is my identity. What you see with me is what you get. And I'm not going to conform to those models that society expects. Okay? I speak my tone. I speak the language. You want to listen to me, you tune in. If I'm not appealing to you, that's fine. There's somebody else that will reach you because there are more of me around. However, aligning to the Lead India Foundation was very important to me because I have been extremely fortunate in my life. I'm at a point where and if you study Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I am at that point where I believe I'm at self-actualization, where I have achieved all those things I've set out for myself. I am going to be 48 in a couple of months. And for me, you know, I think it's time to start giving back. My kids are in a great place. You know, I feel as though I have things that I can share with the world. And my gifts, my journeys, my travels, my experiences, even if I can touch one life one day at a time, that's very meaningful for me. And that's why I do what I do.
I'm loving it. I am so loving it. And I know we probably have gone over our times. But this has been so good, honestly. I know they may probably even cut some of it out. But let me ask you this, because it's a very important question based on our topic, our show. What are some of the setbacks or challenges that you had to overcome in order to do what it is you're doing now?
Okay. And that's a great question. One of the challenges, so I'm big on diversity. I'm a big DE&I, diversity, equality, and inclusion champion. Mm-hmm. If you look at my resume, if you look at all the work I do, I work a lot with women. I work in impoverished communities. I do a lot of outreach. But far too often, and I speak this with no malice, I see women who have climbed the corporate ladder and they are sitting in what I call the queen bee syndrome, where they've gotten to this top spot. And rather than make a way for other women, they're actually stifling other women and stunting their growth. And it could be for a number of factors. It could be the fact that now the places that are open are limited, and these women who are at the top want to hog it, or they're just, you know, not sure about themselves, or they're threatened by other women. I don't know what it is, but if we're going to promote women and open that door for the woman that's going to come behind us, we got to hold it open. We can't be halfway there and speak the languages. Hey, I'm a champion of change. Hey, I want more women out there. I want to see more women climbing that ladder. We're speaking the language, but how many of us are walking the walk? And far too often when I work with clients or when I look at corporate structures, I see a lot of hot air, but I see very few activity-based leaders, female leaders, actually hand-holding others and taking them in the journey. And that's what we need. That is what we need. And that is as real as I can get, Betty.
Dr. Zabita says, I see a lot of hot air. I just don't see you in action with that hot air. You have a lot of hot air that's not putting that air into action. Unbelievable. That is so true. And that's why we are tethering together today. So we can just let the world know what other women are doing out there. And you have an amazing platform. And that is a challenge or can set you back when you go to reach up to another woman who's in a position to help you bring your platform to the next level. But it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But you said, but you're doing, I just want you to help me too. So why are you blowing hot air and I can't come along with you? I got you, Dr. Sabita. I think, let me see if I can get another question answered here. What's your definition of, and you've said this so many times, of resurrection? What it, because I know you've answered this in so many different ways, but give me another one. Give me, just tell me or reiterate some of the things you said about resurrection.
Resurrection is nirvana. It's life after death. When you've hit that lowest point and you feel you can go on, you dig deep, girl. You dig deep and you find that wind. You find that little gust of energy, just that little glimmer of light. And you hold on to hope. That is your way out. That little glimmer of light. Have you been in a tunnel where it's so dark and there's just a crevice of light? Hold on to that light. Don't focus on the darkness. Stick to the light. Keep your eye on that path and you will rise. Because sometimes we have to lose it all before we can begin. And it's okay. It's perfectly okay to lose it all and start over. Because when you're starting over, you're starting from point of experience. And that is amazing. And that's going to chart your journey. So that is what resurrection is to me, Dr. Betty.
Did you see the mic just like bounce back up into my hand? You know what? How can listeners get in touch with you? What's the best way that, you know, one can contact Dr. Sabita?
So I'm on LinkedIn. You can look me up, Dr. Sabita Vadesi Singh. You can look me up on Cardinal Services, LLC. I am the CEO of Cardinal Services. And I will also send you my details so you can put it on the broadcast. You can reach me on my Houston-based number. It's 862-860-832-9656 or Sabita1009 at cardinalservices.training. So whatever you need, you know, I'm here. I'm not blowing hot air. I'm going to hold your hand and I'm going to carry you, girl.
I can't with her right now. You should see her face like I do. Listen, I told you, you know, strong people are not simply born. They level up by sharing their imprints they've created throughout their life journey. You heard Dr. Sabina, what she just said. And strong people are not just simply born. They resurrect by sharing their imprints they generate throughout their life journey. Remember, strength doesn't come from what you can do. It comes from overcoming the things you once thought you couldn't. Thank you so much for tuning in with us every week on Overcoming Battles by Being Strong and Courageous. This month, we have some amazing, amazing guests. And I know that you are going to want this guest right here. You're going to want her back on the air. Honestly, I know. I can already feel it in my bones. Thank you, Dr. Sabita. Do you have one last nugget that you would like to share with us before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, as the world races on, just stay grounded. Stay grounded and true to who you are. And if you're true to who you are, your identity will be carved out of it. You don't have to be an everyone. You just need to be who you are and be that someone.
She said, you don't have to be everyone. Be who you are. Be that someone. This Dr. Betty Speaks. I'm out. I am so out.
It's Patty Speaks, the international transformational storytelling. Just what you need. Time to listen now for motivation on a journey with Patty Speaks.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.